Welcome to the room. And we are going to go ahead with our study of who are the Greeks. Trying to get acquainted with what the Bible says about them. What their duty was. What their purpose was. Whether they knew it or not. I think it'll help us if we start with a search, looking through the scriptures to see some examples of the Greeks. Let's look in Acts 13, 16, and down to verse 26. 13, 16, and 13, 26. And we'll see that God-fearing, Israel-blessing Gentiles are distinguished from the rest of the Gentiles by what they believe. Acts 13 tells of a meeting in the synagogue, right in the Jewish synagogue in Pisidia. This is Antioch of Pisidia, not Antioch of Syria. Not the Antioch that Paul went back to and seemed to, it doesn't say it, but he seemed to base his operations from there. When offered the opportunity to speak to those in the synagogue, notice how Paul addressed them in verse 16. Then Paul stood up and beckoning with his hand, said, "Men of Israel," so is that you or me? "Men of Israel, and ye that fear God, give audience." Paul addressed two types of people in the synagogue, men of Israel, and secondly, ye that fear God. Well, come on down to verse 26, like we said. "Men and brethren," there's that "men and brethren" again, "children of the stock of Abraham, and whosoever among you feareth God, to you is the word of this salvation sent." Again, Paul addresses the two types of people present in the synagogue, men and brethren. But then Paul goes on further to define them as children of the stock of Abraham, and whosoever among you feareth God. Excuse me a moment. The children of the stock of Abraham would be the brethren at the beginning of the verse, and the whosoever among you feareth God in verse 26, that would be ye that fear God in verse 16. They would be someone else other than who he already mentioned, the brethren, the Israelites in the church, in the synagogue. So in the synagogue, besides the Jews, there were Gentiles called Greeks in many places, because they feared the God of Abraham and blessed Israel in some way. These particular Gentiles blessed Israel by coming to the synagogue. And however else, you know, what do you do in a synagogue? You usually agree. They would not be rebels there. They were cooperators with Israel's program. Why would fearing God make the Greeks different from the rest of the Gentiles that were alien from Israel, separated, apart from Israel, against Israel, in fact? Well, that relates back to Genesis 12 and the covenant that God made with Abram, later renamed Abraham. We know him by Abraham mostly, but at the time of this covenant, he was Abram. Genesis 12:1. "Now the Lord had said unto Abram, Get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee." So there's the first mention of the land. Verse 2. "And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. A lot of good things there, isn't it? I think it was 7 if I counted right. In that covenant, you can see God gave special status and blessings to Abraham and those that descended from him, later defined as those descending through Isaac and through Jacob, Jacob being renamed Israel. So you've got the children of Israel then, the 12 sons, 12 tribes. But when you read Genesis 12:3 carefully, you see that besides blessing Israel, God also promised to bless some Gentiles who would fit in to the, you know, if they fit it, if they fit the qualifications in the verse. What was the qualification? Genesis 12:3, and I will bless them that bless thee. So, well, it goes on, and curse him that curseth thee, and that's what enraged the apostate Jews in Acts 22:22, when Paul had announced he was going to people like us to give the gospel to alien Gentiles. Often in the King James Bible, they are called, the Gentiles who bless Israel are called Greeks. So in the Jewish synagogue in Antioch of Pisidia, after preaching the gospel of God, and you can find that in Acts 13, verses 28 to 37, 28 being also the last part of the death, burial, and resurrection, the DBR it's sometimes called. It's not, the DBR is not a gospel. It's not a way to salvation, but it is the facts, sort of like the gospel of Jesus Christ, that Mark starts his account of the life of Jesus, the life and times of Jesus as the death, burial, and resurrection tells those three events. The resurrection is part, though, it's part of the gospel of God that tells us, it identifies Jesus. When he comes, you'll know him this way, in other words, that he's the Son of God, he's the Messiah, he is risen from the dead. So, in Acts 13, verses 28 to 37, you've got that identification of who Jesus is, called the gospel of God. Paul was preaching this salvation as opposed to that salvation, which they had already heard, the gospel of the circumcision. Paul said, to you is the word of this salvation sent. This salvation was sent to the Jews and the God-fearing, Israel-blessing Greeks in the synagogue. It was not yet sent to the rest of the Gentiles. If the rest of the Gentiles wanted to be blessed, they had to bless Israel and become part of that, the Greeks, the God-fearing, Israel-blessing Gentiles. Remember that Greeks are often, well, they're a specific condition. A condition of Gentiles. They didn't start as Israel blessers. They came to a point where they realized that God was working in the world through the covenants with Israel, and they wanted to be part of that. They searched the scriptures, found Genesis 12:3, I will bless them that bless thee, so they blessed Israel. They became Greeks. But Greeks are a specific condition of Gentiles. All the Gentiles, all the Greeks, all the Jews and Greeks in the synagogue were believers that God delivered covenants of promise to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. That's different than believing that Christ died for your sins, died on the cross. It's a different gospel. It was Israel's gospel that those Gentiles before Paul, they were siding with Israel. They were taking up those covenants by blessing Israel. But their condition depended on their belief or disbelief of Jesus being Israel's Messiah, risen from the dead. In Acts chapter 14, verses 1 through 4, in the synagogue in Iconium, we can clearly see the distinction between the Greeks and the rest of the Gentiles. They are two different people groups. First, let's look at the verses, and for context, we'll read them. We'll read from Acts 13, verses 50, 51, and then go back to chapter 14. But Acts 13, 50 starts off, "But the Jews stirred up the devout and honorable women and the chief men of the city and raised persecution against Paul and Barnabas and expelled them out of their coasts." Jesus said that would happen in John's, was it John? Yeah, John 16, verses 1 to 3. Acts 13:51, "But they shook off the dust of their feet against them and came unto Iconium." And so you get to verse 1 of chapter 14, "And it came to pass in Iconium that they went both together into the synagogue of the Jews." So they're talking to Jews, not to people like us. They were sent to the Jews. Now, you know, they're not restricted from talking to people like us, but the basis of their sending was to make the Jews and the Greeks into provokers of Israel, provokers that would provoke Israel to believe, almost like the signs did. Before we go on, let's discover what condition of Jew hosts the synagogue. What are they like, the people that run the synagogues? Look at John 9:22 for an example. There's three or four verses like this that show. But it says, "These words spake his parents because they feared the Jews. For the Jews had already agreed that if any man did confess that he was Christ, he should be put out of the synagogue." So the synagogue hosting Jews would not believe that Jesus was the Christ. That was their condition, that of being disbelieving Jews. So going on back to Acts 14:1, "And it came to pass in Iconium that they went both together into the synagogue of the Jews, and so spake that a great multitude, both of the Jews and also of the Greeks, believed." So here we see a second condition of Jews that were still in verse 1 of the four verses we were going to look at the beginning of 14. There were Jews that believed the gospel of God, under which Paul was separated. It says in Romans 1:1, he was separated under the gospel of God. And when he came and preached it, some of the Jews believed it. That's a certain condition of Jews called believing Jews. At least I call them that. In verse 1, besides the two conditions of Jews, we also see some Greeks. And the verse tells us the condition of those Greeks. The Greeks believed that Jesus was the Christ. When Paul preached it to them, their condition was that they were believing Gentiles. That's what we saw up there. A great multitude of the Jews and also of the Greeks believed. So let's look again at verse 1 of 14. "And it came to pass in Iconium that they went together into the synagogue of the Jews, and so spake that a great multitude of the Jews, both of the Jews and also of the Greeks, believed." Does that sound familiar? Not just that we read it before, but does the Jews and also the Greeks sound familiar? We look in Romans 1:16, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. There you've got believing, and so you've got believing Jews and believing Greeks, that the gospel of Christ was true. Paul was sent out with that. And you see that in other places in Acts 26. You see it in, what's the other place I was thinking of? 1 Corinthians 9. So, excuse me. So those that that Paul addressed after his sending, and we read that, that would be Acts 13, chapters 1, verses 1 to 4. Those that he addressed were the Jews and also the Greeks. That Romans 1:16 tells us the saving gospel of Christ was sent to at that time. And let's read Acts 14:1 again. It came to pass in Iconium that they both went both together into the synagogue of the Jews, and so spake that a great multitude of the Jews and also of the Greeks believed. It sounds like Paul is going into enemy territory there by going into the synagogue, but they're the ones to whom Christ sent Paul, as reported in Acts 26, verses 16 and 17, and we'll get there in a minute. Christ sent Paul, making him a minister and a witness of his revelations to people from whom Christ would deliver Paul. Christ would deliver Paul from both the people and from the Gentiles. Listen to the verse. Verses, this is Acts 26, verses 16 and 17. But rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness, both of these things which thou hast seen, and of those things in the which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles, unto whom now I send thee. He had to be delivered from the ones that he was sent to. Delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles, unto whom now I send thee. Is that a future sending? That's a present sending, isn't it? He says the word now in there. So, in Acts 26, he's talking about the Damascus Road, and he was sent out to those who he would have to be delivered from. We see that in several places, five places that I've noted in other lessons, but we'll get to that. Christ sent Paul to those from whom he would deliver him. And so far, we've discovered two types of Jews, believing and disbelieving, regarding the messiahship of Jesus. And we've discovered a type of Gentile, Greeks, that believed Paul's gospel of God, that Jesus is the Messiah, risen from the dead. Now, Paul preached that basic foundational information gospel about who Jesus is, called the gospel of God, but he did not preach the kingdom gospel or the gospel of the circumcision. He didn't preach Israel's gospel. Both Peter and Paul preached the gospel of God. It was to identify Jesus, the center of both dispensings of God's grace. Let's reread Acts 14:1 to lead into the second verse there, and we'll see some other conditions. And it came to pass in Iconium that they went both together into the synagogue of the Jews, and so spake that a great multitude, both of the Jews and also of the Greeks, believed. But the unbelieving Jews stirred up the Gentiles and made their minds evil affected against the brethren. In Acts 14, verse 2, who are the brethren? Who are the Gentiles? Who are the unbelieving Jews in that verse? Look at the previous verse again, verse 1. And it came to pass in Iconium that they went both together into the synagogue of the Jews, and so spake that a great multitude, both of the Jews and also of the Greeks, believed. And we've already seen that the unbelieving Jews run the synagogues to which Paul went and read their scriptures. So that identifies the unbelieving type of Jews, the apostate Jews. The brethren are that great multitude, both of the Jews and also of the Greeks, that believed in Acts 14:1 at the end of the verse there. But who are the Gentiles that the unbelieving Jews stirred up and made their minds evil affected? Those Gentiles were not the Gentiles that were called Greeks, which believed. Those Gentiles were other Gentiles from outside the assembly, the synagogue, Jewish synagogue. They were Gentiles that the Bible elsewhere calls alien or separated from God's people. Those Gentiles didn't care about God, the God of Abraham or the Jews. They had to be stirred up before they got involved. Let's look at verses 3 and 4. Acts 14, starting with verse 3. Long time, therefore, they abode speaking boldly in the Lord which gave testimony unto the word of his grace, and granted signs and wonders to be done by their hands. Verse 4. But the multitude of the city was divided, and part held with the Jews, and part with the apostles. So you've got these Jews from outside that were against Paul, stirring up the crowd, and on the other side you've got the apostles. Actually, in verse 1, there are two conditions of Jews. There's the synagogue of the Jews, with the Jews that run the synagogue, and also there are the Jews that believe Paul's preaching, along with the Greeks. So, the two conditions of Jews are, one, believing Jews, and two, disbelieving Jews, those running the synagogue. And as we have seen the two conditions of Jews, we also see two conditions of Gentiles. Those Greeks that believed Paul's gospel of God, and secondly, those that stirred up Gentiles. They were stirred up with evil affected minds. But the multitude of the city was divided, part held with the Jews and part with the apostles. In Acts 14:4, who was the part that was with the apostles? And who was the part that was with the Jews? The only ones with the apostles were the Jews and Greeks that believed, even though it was a great multitude, it said. The part that held with the Jews were all those towny Gentiles with the evil affected minds. We can see right there that there were two conditions of Gentiles, the Greeks and secondly the aliens. Aliens from Israel. Chapter 14, a couple more verses here before we close for today. Verse 5. And when there was an assault made both of the Gentiles and also of the Jews with their rulers to use them despitefully and to stone them, they were aware of it and fled. And as we go back over the passage, we see that in Acts 14:1, both Paul and Barnabas went together into the synagogue of the Jews together. And when they were in there, we're next lesson tomorrow, we'll consider Paul's mode of operation that he mentioned in Acts 17, first three verses. So we're done with this lesson, and any comments or questions, please bring them up, post them in there so I can see them, and we'll get right to them.